Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
We want to do a shout out to my husband. I'm going to have to do that first for Father's Day. And to all of you wonderful fathers out there, we just praise God for you.
Amen. And to my dad, James Harold Herring Sr.
Absolutely.
Experiencing his 92nd Father's Day.
Wow. Well, maybe not and, Father's Day, but still, 92nd year of being alive and a father for the last, Anyway, a long time.
And to our oldest son, Jim.
Yep.
James Harold Herring III, Pastor Jim. Happy Father's Day as well.
That's right. And anniversary.
Yep, that's true. It is their anniversary today. On yesterday's call, we talked about seven scriptural insights on the best way to live. The seven insights are all found in Ecclesiastes 5:18-20. Ecclesiastes 5:18-20 in the Message Bible. It says, after looking at the ways things are on earth, here's what I've decided is the best way to live. Take care of yourself. Hallelujah.
Have a good time and make the most of whatever job you have as long as God gives you life. And that's about it. That's the human lot. Yes, we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it, accepting what's given and delighting in the work. It's God's gift. God deals out joy in the present, the now. It's useless to brood over how long we might live.
Before continuing, let's do a brief review. Number one, look not at the way things are on the earth, but rather the way they can be. The key to success is to determine where you are, where God wants you to be, create a plan to get there, and start where you are with what you got. Hosea 14:9, Message Bible. If you want to live well, make sure you understand all of this. If you know what's good for you, then you'll learn this inside and out. God's paths get you where you want to go. Right living people walk easily. Wrong living people are always tripping and stumbling. Mm-hmm. God's path gets you where you want to go.
Number two on this Ecclesiastes verse. Here's what I've decided is the best way to live. This is what he said. Anyway, in Psalm 25:12, an easy-to-read version, it says, when people choose to follow the Lord, he shows them the best way to live. Hallelujah. When you follow anyone or anything other than his direction, you're just settling for less than the best. You may get lost along the way. Just take note of it. Now, that's what we call the best way to live, living in God's direction.
Absolutely. Number three, take care of yourself. Yesterday, we gave you three verses to study. We'll just repeat the address today. 1 Peter 5:7-8. 1 Peter 5:7-8 in the Classic Amplified. Philippians 4:8 in the Message Bible. And the Message Bible translation of 3 John 1:2. 3 John 1:2. The best way to take care of yourself is, you know what 3 John says, take care of your health and your wealth, is to prosper spiritually.
That's it. Number four, have a good time. Ecclesiastes 3:1-4 in the Classic Amplified points out there is a season for everything, planting, healing, building up, laughing, and dancing. Does that sound like having a good time? It sure does to me. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
Number five, make the most of whatever you have for as long as God gives you life. Let me say that another way. Make the most of whatever job you have for as long as God gives you life. It's been said that 70% of the people who have jobs don't like them. Now, this is especially sad in today's market where many people feel that they don't have any other options. Many workers will never be promoted because they don't have a scriptural understanding of work. Here are seven reasons why you should make the most of your job. First, work is a gift to you personally. Ecclesiastes 3:13 Amplified Classic. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. Work helps us discover and use dominant qualities in our lives. It exposes us to other people, allows us to learn the art of communication, speaking and listening to others.
And second, our work is a gift from God for others around us. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "He did this to make all parts of the body work together smoothly, with each part caring about the others." When others see you do your part and more, it inspires them to become a gift to others and maximize their potential. Our work creates life, movement, progress, and energy. And I might add, even if it doesn't, promote them doing a better job in the things around them, you're doing what you're supposed to
That's
be doing.
Right.
And you answer to God, not for them, but for yourself. In Galatians 6:4, in the Contemporary English Version, Galatians 6, verse 4 says, "Do your own work well, and then you will have something to be proud of. But don't compare yourself with others."
Third, your work is a gift of God to your family. The way you work becomes an example your family will follow. My parents had incredible work ethics. They didn't believe that work was a four-letter word scrawled on a bathroom wall. My parents told me the value of work and the reward of seeing a job well done.
Fourth, you should always be ready, willing, and able to go the extra mile. In Matthew 5, verse 41, it says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain."
Fifth, your work should become increasingly effective. Proverbs 1:5. The wise man will hear and increase in learning.
Number six, your work will position you for recognition and advancement. We love this quote by J.C. Penney. He said once, "Give me a stock clerk with a goal, and I will give you a man who will make history. Give me a man without a goal, and I will give you a stock clerk."
That's true.
Exceptionally good.
It is good.
Quote.
If you never read the biography of J.C. Penney, you owe it to yourself to do it. Seventh, you should always remember who you're working for, and this is the most important. Ephesians 6:7, King James. "With goodwill during service as to the Lord and not to men."
Sixth, back to Ecclesiastes. It says we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it, accepting what's giving and delighting in the work. We start where we are, with what we've got, and then we expect God to do the rest, and he will. The New Century Version of Zechariah 4, verse 10 says, "The people should not think that small beginnings are unimportant. Small things, when properly managed, can bring an amazing reward."
Luke 16:10, Message Bible. God sees behind appearances. Jesus went on to make these comments. "If you're honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. If you're a crook in small things, you'll be a crook in big things. If you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? No worker can serve two bosses. You will either hate the first and love the second, or adore the first and despise the second. You can't serve both God and the bank."
Amen. For a moment, let's focus on the part of the verse that says, if you're honest in small things, you'll be honest in big things. We need to let that sink in, because where we start in life, the foundation we lay, being honest in small things will lead us to being able to be in charge of bigger things, because it becomes a part of who we are. In Luke 6:10, the Message Bible says it this way: if you're not honest in small jobs, who will put you in charge of the store? The Message Bible gets down to it, where the rubber meets the road, how a person responds to menial tasks is most often a reflection of how they will perform when they're given even greater responsibilities. This principle reflects both in our personal and our professional lives. We need to show ourselves faithful where we are if we want to receive the greater rewards and opportunities that will come our way.
Number seven is God's gift. God deals out joy in the present, the now. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, God deals out joy in the present, the now. That's what I'm experiencing daily and expecting more of, God's joy in the now. You know, one of the songs we listen to in the mornings.
And we often mention.
And get ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great gospel song written by Shirley Caesar. This joy that I have,
the world didn't give it to me.
This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me.
Bum, 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 this joy that I have,
the world didn't give it to me.
The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Woo!
The Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
All right.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Sing it.
The Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
The world didn't give it.
And the world can't take it away.
That's right.
How about that trip to remembering life?
I'll say.
Now we want to share three scriptures with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11, easy to read translation. Now, brothers and sisters, be filled with joy. Try to make everything right and do what I've asked you to do. Agree with each other and live in peace. Then the love of God and peace will be with you.
John 17:13 says in the Classic Amplified, and now I am coming to you. I say these things while I am still in the world, so that my joy may be made full and complete and perfect in them, that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them, that my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls, that they may have my gladness with them filling their hearts.
Romans 15:13 in the Message Bible says, oh, may the God of green hope fill you with joy, fill you with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Talk about encouraging passages of Scripture. Amazing. Well, when you absorb these 7 points, the things we've shared on yesterday's call and today, you'll be blessed. And you'll know that you'll be making the most of what you can.
That's it.
And that's really the key. Well, join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern for Sunday Night Live.
That's right.
You'll be blessed by the teaching. It is good. I do say so myself.
Because it's God.
Because it's God. That's exactly right. Once again, make sure you call your dad today and tell him happy Father's Day. Doesn't matter if he wasn't the best dad in the world. He's your dad. And the scripture says, honor your mom and dad that your days may be long.
And if you don't have a dad who's living, call somebody that doesn't, you know, have their kids around or do what's maybe right by them.
Good idea.
And just say, hey, you mean a lot to me.
Absolutely.
And that'll mean a lot to them.
No doubt. No doubt. Join us tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, Sunday Night Live. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com and double-click the button that says Sow a Seed and just do what God tells you to do. Well, until tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern and every morning at 8:30 Eastern a.m., God bless you. Happy trails. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, and keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.